Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rivalry Radio on this Wednesday. Big day. We're getting closer to the Final Four, and that's exciting news for all of us. Obviously, college basketball comes to a head this weekend. And if you're in the state of Michigan and you're a Sparty, I mean, you, this is everything that you wanted. And a game that's really hard to not talk about still. I mean, it's which could be a trap. I mean, you start thinking back so much to such a big win, then you got a very good Texas Tech team that you have to perform against who's playing really well. And it's going to be a big weekend for Sparty. They really need to play well. They got to continue to do what they're doing. And we'll talk about that soon. Tyler's on with me now. Tyler, I'm going to talk a little bit about some NBA before we get right into stay. This shouldn't take too long because obviously the order of importance would be Michigan State still. But I just wanted to touch on some first before we started the show because it's really crazy. I mean, there's so many things said about everything when it comes to sports now. And obviously LeBron in L.A. makes it more difficult not to talk about certain things with player movement and who's going where. But obviously I would call myself, I don't even know if I'm a bandwagon Warrior, but I love watching the Warriors. And we've had this discussion before in the past where we felt like, why would you break this up type thing, which I think part of our reason is because we love that Draymond plays there and we want to continue to see him be successful being from the state. But talk about the Warriors. I mean, I think they're so unbeatable in a series if they continue to keep what they have. And you're starting to get even more talks of Durant going to L.A. now. That's the big insider, you know, information that he's definitely going to L.A. Let's just talk about that. You know, the playoff push is coming here soon. Your thoughts on the Warriors, and do you see potentially that happening where Durant does leave?
Well, I mean, I think you see it in some aspects, mostly because there are, you know, five guys on that team that deserve a lot more money than what they're being paid, definitely,
sure,
in regards to the standard NBA wage. And so I think in that aspect, I would say, yeah, it's something that's going to happen. You know, it's got to be broken up at some point. You know, Durant got what he wanted. He got that monkey off of his back. That's been the one big thing that, you know, people still talk about Karl Malone, John Stockton, and Charles Barkley not being able to secure a championship. And so I think that, you know, doing that at the fee, and that's what a lot of the players are concerned with. Can't afford to pay those five guys, you know, Boogie, Chef, Clay, Draymond, and Durant, you can't afford to pay them all if they're worth. You just can't do it for an extended period at all. And so I think that, you know, this is something that everybody kind of figured was going to be a short-term fix. If you're going to go somewhere, you might as well hop on with a team that's already loaded up with superstars. And so that's what Durant did. What Durant does after this, I mean, you know, obviously it's a up to him. It's up to the organization how they want to treat this, and it's up to you know, his family, and if that's something that they see leaving. So I think that this was something that everybody knew wasn't going to last. It wasn't going to be a Bill Russell, you know, 8-ring run, or Michael Jordan 3-3. It wasn't going to be any of those types of situations.
Well, they, I mean, the 3-3 thing, you're right. You're
Warriors themselves might still continue to be a dynasty, but I think they're going to do it without Durant. And, I mean, you know, we find another superstar like a DeMarcus Cousins or something like that. Now, I mean, if Durant does end up leaving, you can pay Boogie a little more and go get another guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my only concern for them is, you know, I mean, Durant's getting paid pretty well. I mean, I don't know You know, I my concern would be when it gets tough and you get down to the end, my concern is guys like Draymond and Klay, because I think what happens in this thing, which those are key. I mean, you have to keep Draymond. I mean, I'm not saying that they should let him go, but what happens in this thing is, you know, we've seen it with the Bulls. Scottie Pippen was not being treated properly, and he wasn't right. getting paid his due. I guess you could say a lot of people are saying Klay's not. So I don't think Klay, he's low maintenance. I'm finding that out. People are starting to find out the thing. He doesn't care about the hype, the fame. He's fine with where he's at, just winning. You know, he came from Washington State, not like a big, I mean, it's a big school, but it's not like, you know, other Pac-12 schools like Oregon, UCLA,
Arizona.
Who have made some noise, you know, Arizona, obviously. So he comes from a program that's under the radar, per se. I can see him staying. I mean, Steph's not going anywhere. You know, he's staying
right.
there forever.
Steph is going to be the one guy.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, rightfully so. You know, rightfully so. And Durant's the one that's kind of like, we don't know. But the playoffs are coming, and I'm just going to put this out there before we get ready to stay, because I don't want to touch on this too much. I mean, you know, I'm a big NBA guy, but I just don't think there's anybody that can beat them in a 7-game series. I don't think it's possible. If it happens, that's a shocker to me. I mean, if these guys are all healthy, they get to the playoffs, nothing crazy happens. I think they're unbeatable in a 7-game. I can't see one team beating them 4 times. I just don't see it. And you know, we'll get more into playoff talk here soon, but I just wanted to touch on that because, you know, they beat the Nuggets last night. The Nuggets are getting a lot of, you know, hype behind them. They've had a hell of a year, but you know, I just don't see it happening, anyone beating them. Sparty, obviously, you know, I was with you. It was incredible. It was amazing. The Duke game is, for me, for watching Michigan State, that was, to me, the biggest win Michigan State has had. They have to win it all to validate that, though. But talk about the Duke game. I mean, it was absolutely incredible.
Oh, yeah. It was it was something else. It really tested the heart of this team. And, I mean, dude, you saw me freaking out. It tested my heart, too, a little bit. Especially when you look at that game, it tested the heart of this team in regard to, you're down 21-30 to Duke. And I mean, me being the Michigan State fan, me going to the last tournament where they played Duke, I went to the Duke game in the Final Four in 2015. I mean, even then it was a, okay, we can feel Duke starting to run away with it. You know, it was well lasted. This was a 7 seed that made the Final Four. They weren't supposed to get this far. You know, congratulations, Travis Trice. That's what that turned up being. And, you know, when you look at the 30-21 deficit in the first half and you start to think, oh, man, you know what, this was a crazy season. We did, you know, we won the Big Ten tournament without a shooting guard. And, you know, your preseason All-Big Ten center without a shooting guard averaging 16 a game before he got hurt, mind you. And then you're all, you know, his shooting hand's broken. And, you know, Cassius Winston playing with sprains and twists and jams and tendonitis in his knee. And then, you know, when you go down 30-21 to Duke, is, you know, considering all that crap, considering Kyle Arntz missing games, Matt McQuaid missing some, you know, it was a great season. You know, thanks McQuaid, thanks Kenny. And, you know, at the end of the game, we ended up tanking Kenny, even though we thought he didn't have his best performance.
Right. Wow. I mean, he was going to be the scapegoat for me and you. I mean, we were, you know, you leave RJ, which, you know, look, Zion, you didn't leave off a player to help off a guy who wasn't very good. I mean, you wanted to help, you know, to help Zion driving, but you leave Barrett, and then, you know, you give a straight line drive for Zion to his strong hand, and it wasn't looking good for Kenny. And that's a big shot, though. Senior, he's from the state. I made a post about, I think this team, you know, I played a lot of basketball. I've met guys from all over this country, and I think Midwest kids are so tough. And I also added, you know, it's kind of funny that I play with a lot of guys from Texas who are super tough, and that's where McQuaid's from. Your roster is in flux with tough guys. I want to touch on one thing. Look, I've been the best player on my team. You know, I've been one of the best players. I've been one of the guys who didn't get a lot of minutes. I know what Cassius Winston is going through. So much work he's had to put in this year to carry this basketball team. It's incredible that he continues to step up. He continues to make plays. He was unbelievable against Duke. I mean, he's the type of guy, you look at him and you go, yeah, he played pretty well, and boom, he's got 20 points, 10 assists, three to five steals. I think he had four in his stat line.
Yep, that's amazing.
And it's incredible.
Right between that three and five.
You know, it's incredible because, you know, it's not like he blows you away with certain things, but he just does everything right. And I thought he was great on defense. And they're going to need him again. I mean, Texas Tech, you know, talking about them, I thought Michigan played absolutely soft against Texas Tech. And I didn't want to give Texas Tech too much credit. But after watching them beat the Zags, they are for real. They are playing very good basketball. They have a little bit of everything. You know, they go inside, they go outside, they hit big shots. They're great on defense. This is going to be a very difficult game for Michigan State. And I'm going to put this out here now. Look, Sparty Nation, I am pulling for you, and I thought that win was huge against Duke. But I'm telling you, you have got to be locked in because Texas Tech is very good. Talk about that because this is going to be a really tough game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a team that won the Big 12. Kansas had, a 12-year streak of that?
Right.
They've been doing it since, you know, when I was in college and I was at Michigan State. So this is something that, and one of the things that a lot of people aren't talking about is, yeah, obviously Texas Tech has the best defense. And according to KenPom, this may end up being the best defense ever. It at least is since those rankings have come out, and you know, you get those really in-depth stats. Now, one thing to keep in mind, though, is they're doing this in the Big 12, which football and basketball alike is very defense optional. It's run and gun. It's high pace. I'm a defensive guy. I know you like the offense. But let's just say that this conference is definitely more suited for you as opposed to me.
Yeah.
And so for them to boast that level of defense and that level of a conference from an offensive perspective is absolutely insane. To do it in the Big Ten would probably be nuts. But to do it in the Big 12 where it's all about offense is one of the more incredible things that people aren't talking about.
No, I think one thing that people need to realize, you know, Texas Tech is one of those teams when you go over these games and you research, you have to research them because if you don't, you kind of don't know. It's not like Duke. Hey, we knew, you know, RJ's an NBA type player. Zion's great. You're gonna have to stop those guys. Cam Reddish
is
really
good.
DeLore
here can block some shots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
this
he can
team,
get dunked on three times in one game. But
right. Yeah. You know, you knew the players at Duke because they're put on such a pedestal. One thing about the team, I mean,
right.
We know about Texas Tech, number one team in defensive efficiency. Their offense isn't that bad. They're 28th in offensive efficiency, which isn't terrible. And, you know, they've got a group of guys that are playing very, very good. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, Jarrett Culver is a very good player. And, you know, he's led them. You know, he's a Big 12 player of the year. A lot of people don't know that. I had to look it up more because, like I said, they're just not a team that you just know the guys so easily. I mean, this guy averaged, you know, almost 19 a game, 6.5 rebounds. And in the tournament, he's averaging 21
and 7. Since the tournament started, yeah.
I mean, his stats in the tournament his stats, incredible. You know, 21.5, 6.8 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 2.5 steals. He's been better even than he was in the regular season. And, you know, I've been mentioning this, and one thing I don't think that anyone is realizing, if you've watched him, though, their point guard, an Italian, which gets me excited, that is playing outstanding. You can't leave him. He's a great shooter. They really, really can shoot the basketball. And Moretti is tough. He's tough, and their bigs are good with Tariq Owens. This is going to be a battle. And I'm telling you right now, Moretti's the wild card for them. He destroyed Michigan off that ball screen action. And talk a little bit about Texas Tech. I know this is a new team for us. I mean, this is kind of new. It's tough to – we don't watch the Big 12 that much unless it's Kansas, I guess. But talk about the players, because this is going to be a load for MSU.
Well, you know, obviously they – I mean, you just talked about the two big ones on offense. But then you have Tariq Owens inside who's blocking. I mean, Michigan State got a little taste of that with Delaurier and Zion against Duke. But these guys do such an incredible job angling you towards the basket. It's not one of those defenses where they try to stop the drive. They drive you where they want you to go. This is the type of team that the way they play defense is so odd. Sometimes you'll see a little bit of 2-3. Sometimes you'll see a little bit of that zone. You'll see a matchup zone. And then they switch man-to-man in the middle of the possession. It's something that they put you on a certain side of the floor. They're the aggressor, which you don't see anywhere. They're the aggressor. They put you on a certain side of the floor, and they keep you from getting to the middle or to the other side. It's fantastic. It's incredible to watch. It's worrisome to watch if you're doing a little bit of scouting on this team. And they get you to drive exactly where they want, usually right into the hands of Tariq Owens. And so this is a team that defensively, you know, you never seen anything like it. At the same time, you know, there's a lot of talk about how great Culver is and how good a shooter Moretti is. And Michigan State got some defensive guys themselves that they can throw at them. And they can mix it up a couple different ways in regards to switching and how you do that. Look at the Minnesota game more specifically, because I think this is going to be how it lines up a little bit for Michigan State. Amir Coffee, obviously the best player. And I mean, I could make a case up until the Michigan State game, he was the best player in the country for a stretch. Amir Coffee was absolutely out of control, incredible for a while. Michigan State put Aaron Henry on him, despite the fact Matt McQuaid was an All-Big Ten defensive player and probably could have made a case for defensive player of the year the way he shut down Carson Edwards twice. And
sure.
So Michigan State put Aaron Henry on him because Aaron Henry's more athletic. He's got longer arms. It causes more disruption. And I think you're going to see that. You're going to see, even though McQuaid's technically the better defender, I feel like the athleticism and the wingspan is a difference on a 6'7 wing who was his conference's player of the year. You can put McQuaid on more Moretti because they, again, like the Minnesota game, they put him on the freshman shooter that Minnesota has and completely shut him down. So, and worst comes to worst, you can always switch on the perimeter. You can mix it up a little bit, give Culver different looks when he's coming off the screens, and you can switch with McQuaid and Henry when it comes down to it. And so they can throw different looks at this team that, you know, maybe they haven't seen in the Big 12.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, Michigan State is – they're battle-tested. They have, you know, looking up some statistics with them, and, you know, right now – they've played 10 games against the top 21 teams in defensive efficiency. They've won 9 of them. Their only loss was the season opener against Kansas, and that I don't think that would render anything at this point. I mean, Kansas went downhill this year. They're 6-0 against the top 10 teams, with 3 over Michigan, 2 over Wisconsin, and obviously 1 with the win over Duke. A lot of people keep saying first to 70, because in those 6 games, MSU averaged almost 70 a game, like 69.7. I think this game, I don't think it's going to take that. I mean, I think, look, if you're hovering high 50s and low 60s, yeah, you're going to struggle. Texas Tech might get you. But I don't think they necessarily have to score 70 points, but it's going to be important. It's going to be important to see, hey, who's going to score a little better. You know me and my offense. You know, I'm going to talk about it, you know, maybe even more than defense. I think that's still the key for State. They got to find a way to keep having, less turnovers. 7 turnovers against Duke, outstanding. We talked about it. Hey, no turnovers, take care of the ball, hit big shots. They did that. I don't think it changes at all in this tournament. I mean, do what you do on defense, be tough as hell, but you got to find a way to continue to be efficient on offense. And I think they will. I think this game is going to come right down to the end. I mean, I think Chris Beard has done as good or better of a job than anyone in the country this year with this team. They're very good, and I'm excited. The whole Final Four, this is the one team that I think Michigan State will have the hardest time. I really feel good about them if they win against whoever wins that other game. I really do. I think Virginia, I mean, come on. That they're totally ready for Virginia if Virginia moves on. Auburn's different. They're faster, athletic. They're just not very poised all the time. They're a little out of control. If you watch
and they lost a lot of their star powers.
Right. The Auburn-Kentucky game, if you like wild, crazy basketball, you would have loved that game. If you don't and you're like me, you cringed at watching any of it. I mean, it was so back and forth, not efficient, and it was just – it was a nightmare if you want precision, per se. But talk about the whole Final Four. I mean, am I on when I say that? I really think this is the one. This is the one that will give them the hardest time.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I just want to add one more quick thing to rather decent-sized stretches without getting a field goal. They're able to get to the line, but, and I mean, they're, you know, they're a decent free throw shooting team. They're nothing spectacular. They're able to get to the line, but they do go sometimes almost a quarter of the game without scoring. And the fact that they were able to do what they did this season is absolutely fantastic. As far as the Final Four on the whole, I think you're dead on. Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, he had an article today where when you break this down, getting to the Final Four is incredible. You know, even for Michigan State fans, they'll get into the Final Four is incredible, even though they've done it, you know, every 3 years, according to Tom Izzo's clock since he took over. But getting to a Final Four that you're the favorite in, and I think after the Duke game, Michigan State is the favorite. I think even if they were to somehow have avoided Duke, they would be the favorite because of how they treated Michigan during their 3 games. And so to get to a Final Four that appears so winnable, that's even more odd. I think the last time Michigan State was at a winnable one was 2010, and that's a Kalen Lucas Achilles away from being Tom Izzo's second ring.
Sure.
When they went to the Final Four, got hacked by Gordon Hayward, no relation, refused to even think anything along the lines when Gordon Hayward hacked Draymond Green on that 17-foot jump shot. And so that was a winnable one. It got away against Butler. There was no Kalen Lucas. I think even without Kalen Lucas, they could have beat the Duke team that year.
Yeah, it was tough.
But now you're looking at it. I'm sorry?
You don't know if they were necessarily the favorite, but you're right when you – it was the one where you
say – it
was
winnable.
Definitely winnable. Definitely 50-50 almost, you know.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Duke game probably would have been closer to a toss-up, but, you know, they had Butler beat, and in many regards they should have and did beat Butler, but then you go into, and you beat a Duke team that is, you would play a Duke team that it didn't carry the weight that this year's Duke team did.
Right.
And so you look at it, yeah, Michigan State's been to a ton of these Final Four things. They know how it goes. Tom Izzo is well aware of the extra stuff that comes with the Final Four as opposed to the first four rounds. And
yeah.
At the same time, he's not really walked up into one like he did in 2000 since 2000. And you could argue maybe possibly 2010, but Michigan State, I think, is the favorite going into it. Virginia is a very good team still, but Izzo's had Bennett's number. I mean, that carries about as much weight as saying Coach K has Izzo's number before the other day. So,
yeah,
I think Virginia would also cause quite a bit of problems. Michigan State's just got to play to their tempo, though. If they play to their tempo against Texas Tech, if they can force Virginia to speed up a little bit and they can slow down Auburn a little bit, because Michigan State's on the fast but not really fast level.
Yeah.
I think playing to their tempo is would be the one thing that could almost guarantee – that would guarantee a Michigan State victory. How you can almost guarantee that is going to happen is if Cassius Winston. Now, Winston does have some issues with turnovers from time to time. You go back to the Illinois game, you can go back to the Penn State game. Just guys who are a little more athletic against Penn State. He was going against the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Having Cassius Winston in control of that, though, I'm as comfortable as I would be any other point guard in the country.
Yeah, I mean, with Cash, you got to feel comfortable no matter what. I mean, they've been he's been great. He's been absolutely great. The tempo thing is spot on. You know, Michigan State can play fast, but they don't have to play too fast. You know, Auburn's just too fast sometimes. It's been an advantage, but sometimes you got to be able to have some poise, and Michigan State has that. Definitely the favorite. I mean, Michigan State, the favorite at this point. You know, who they beat, how they're playing, who they're matching up against. There's not those three teams that are in that besides them, I don't look at any of them and go, boy, I mean, Michigan State, you know, they could lose even if they play
One thing I do want to bring up, there is, to an extent, a common opponent. I mean, you know, Texas Tech has played a couple of the teams that Michigan State has. But that Gonzaga game, you look at it, a completely healthy Michigan State team lost to that Gonzaga team in an unofficial.
Sure.
Obviously, this is a different team. Aaron Henry has turned into a man. But that would be the one little seed of doubt, which, based upon Texas Tech's defense, could easily be extrapolated. But if you're going to play in the seed of doubt, in my head, that's where you start, because Texas Tech handled a team that was scoring about 90 points a game.
No, they did. I thought the first half, Gonzaga did everything I thought they would do. I thought they could still score at a high level, and they were on pace for 70. And you know, even though they were right there at the end, they had a really hard time scoring in the second half in spurts against Texas Tech. I think that's a big thing you got to look at if you're Michigan State. You can't go 3 or 4 minutes without scoring. That's where Texas Tech gets you. I mean, they gave Michigan just fits where it was even longer. I mean, Michigan couldn't score at all. But at the same time, that's the key. You know, if you're going on little scoring struggles for State, you got to stop them. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Texas Tech played such a good game against Gonzaga. I thought Gonzaga, still with that offense, would be a really tough out. And if they move on, and I think State does match up better against Texas Tech. I think State matches up good against anybody by showing they could beat Duke. I mean, I thought that was the game where I said, man, it's going to be really hard for State to overcome scores that Duke had. But it was a game of runs, and that was huge. The end run in the first half was everything for Michigan State in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do the same thing basically these next two games. If you're going to play two games, you got to go on runs. You got to contain people. And I think they will. I think it's going to be obviously a lot of fun. I can't wait till the game starts. We got too many days to wait. I'm ready. The Spartan fan base has been outstanding. It's everyone's excited. You're back in the Final Four. You're favored now. You got to cut the nets down.
I think I'm going to throw off again.
Against Duke. Yeah, that right. Tyler needs to not eat tacos ever again before Michigan State games. The nerves don't help in that regard. But, you know, it's just big time. It's a big time thing right now. And, you know, I think that if you're in this state, you're from here, you got to be pulling hard for Sparty.
Well, some of the Texas Tech logos popping up on my Facebook all of a sudden tend to point otherwise.
Of course. Yeah, this is Rivalry Radio. You know, we would be hard-pressed not to talk about Michigan. And, yeah, we got a lot of new Texas Tech fans around here. And but, you know, look, all the things we talked about, those are the key things to the game, the key points. Hey, find ways to score. Texas Tech is very good on defense. Find ways to score. Contain Culver. Again, take care of the basketball. Can't be careless. And the last thing I want to talk about, do you think this is always seems to be something, it doesn't matter to the game, but I want to talk about this. I mean, you get a week to prepare, obviously. So whatever happens
right.
to Duke, you're getting past it. But are you a little worried because it was such a big win that maybe, just maybe a little bit, you're not overlooking Texas Tech? Tom Izzo's not going to overlook anybody. But are you a little concerned that because of the high...
More relaxed with the effort.
Yeah. Are you a little... Would the right way to describe it, man, we're a little too high right now, and I'm worried that this is maybe a game that we just don't perform as well as we normally do.
Look, with the defense the way Tech plays, I mean, obviously that's definitely a possibility. You know, you get a couple shots not falling after you got them falling against Duke, and it's like, okay, we're on planet now. I mean, if Kenny Goins is missing shots again, I mean, he'll probably feel right at home. But ultimately, I think that could potentially be the case. But at the same time, you know, Michigan State's got a couple shooters that Texas Tech may not be aware of. You know, Gabe Brownhead's coming out party against LSU. I think that Tillman's range is something that, even though he hit a three-pointer against Duke, is something that, you know, maybe Owens isn't really 100% ready for, and they like to keep him by the basket anyways. So you may see that a little bit more. You may see Tillman try and knock down some jump shots. If Nick Ward gets into the game, you know, he's going to try to body up Owens. Texas Tech does commit a few fouls. I think that he's also got a face-up game that, you know, Texas Tech probably looked for, has scouted, but, like, we'd rather have him, you know, shoot 18 feet out than 8 inches out. And so they might give him his jump shot. And so there's a couple different scenarios that can take place in regards to how Texas Tech team that Michigan State has, with the confidence that Aaron Henry's playing with, especially because, look, this is a guy who's the, what, fifth wing, fourth wing. There was Langford, McQuaid, and Arnes were all ahead of him. And even when McQuaid went down, Arnes moved into the starting lineup. It wasn't Henry. Then Arnes went down. Then Henry had to step up. And he played scared. He did. And you look at how he's played lately. I mean, you and I noticed it during the Duke game. Shot clock was winding down. He didn't give the ball to Cassius. He took it himself. He made it. He's a very capable player, turned into not only, you know, one of the best perimeter defenders in the Big Ten. He's turned into a very capable offensive player who's starting to find a little bit of rhythm on off with his shot. And I think the way that he has grown up, that may ultimately be the thing that pushes Michigan State over the edge. He can't get flustered, though, against this complex offense or complex defense, and I think that's ultimately where I was going with this. He needs to continue to play like an upperclassman, like he has the past, what, 3-4 games?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be
3 games
because
Bradley, he got crushed.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. It's a big game. Huge to be in the Final Four. You're in the last weekend. Now you got to get it all. You got to win you got to cut the nets down. Huge win over Duke. It will always matter, but it will matter much more if you win it all. And they got it all. They got everything right there in front of them. Do they just have to play well? And I think they do. I think MSU, cuts the nets down. I think they get the job done. This is too good of a team for them to struggle and still not win. That's what's great about MSU. Even when they struggle, they find a darn way to get the job done. And, Michigan fan, you can root for Texas Tech all you want, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think State's too ready. But I appreciate it again, Ty. Obviously, we're always, we love talking about this stuff. You'll be tuned in. I might make – look, I watched a game with Tyler, and I seem to be the good luck charm now with my Spartan shirt on. So, hey, I don't see nothing wrong with keeping that rolling.
So you're going to come down this weekend?
I'm 50-50, you know me. I mean, I said I was going to go to a lot of football games this year, and I didn't seem to make it my way towards East Lansing. That trip to Indiana.
Closer to 30-70, but okay.
Right. But, yeah, I'm pulling for Sparty. Go green. It'll be fun, and we'll be ready, man. We'll be ready, Tyler.
Well, they better be. Tom Izzo says that he needs to validate himself with a second ring. I think he starts to see the pressure a little bit, sees the light at the end of the tunnel as far as his career goes. I'm not saying it will be, within 3 years, but, he understands how bad he put in his head. He understands how bad he needs this to validate himself. And there's a big difference between a coach that wins one and a coach that wins two and a program that wins two and a program that wins three. And so he wants to get Michigan State to that next level. This weekend's as good of a time as any.
It is, and they're gearing up for, they're recruiting out of their minds right now. They're doing an outstanding job. One thing I want to end on, Jalen Terry, obviously committed, not signed, but committed, and, he's a 2020 player, so that was huge. That was huge, another big-time player. You know how high I am on Rocket Watts. So this is a program that's built for the long haul. This could be a couple fun years for Sparty Nation, so... Again, Ty, thanks, man. I can't wait. Final Four this weekend, MSU versus Texas Tech, and, Virginia, Auburn. So, awesome weekend ahead. Thanks again, Ty.
Yeah, thank you. Go green.
Go white. And, I'm a new Sparty fan, apparently, because, like I said, my good luck charm is still alive and well. So, we'll be talking more about this in the next few days. Again, this is Rivalry Radio, where every rivalry matters, but none more than one. Michigan fans, okay, keep rooting for Texas Tech. Keep rooting against Sparty. It seems to be working out for the Green. So we'll be tuned in again here soon before the game. And thank you all for tuning in today.